Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are we on verse 77 or 78?
I have the 80.
You have 80. Okay.
79, I have dragged the serpent to the synagogue, so as a something to trigger my memory, and then I have today's date, verse 80. Let me double check in the book. Yes, we did do 70. I don't know if we finished. I think I made the comment about dragging the serpent to the synagogue. But with the letters of the Olivet and the vows and all, to me represented the prayer service.
Yeah, I do remember. Okay.
It was about you, God. Brandla.
Hello, Brandy. You have something in the background.
Yeah, I'm going to mute. That's the babies. They just were fed.
Okay. So we're starting on Parsha Lech Lecha, section 11. We're starting with Pasuk 80. And we'll start with L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud could shabari su ishkin ke bit hilur, himud, hilud, hilur, himu. Leachda, L'shem Yud he bavavhe. The Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohim alei memasei adenu kanonei alei memasei adenu kanonehu. Vayavor Avram v'aretz ad mekom shechem da bekenishta atar de diura dishkinta taman tada'a. Vani netati lecha shechem echad da shekinta teit chaze yeleya hoil veit kere tzadik veha tzedek lav diura ela bahade tzadik V'dahu ad mekom shechem, ad elon more elu, batai midbarashot, theofin umorim taman, Torah barabim. The translation. The verse, and Avram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, alludes to the synagogue, the place where the Shekhinah resides. As it is written, moreover, I have given to you one portion. The Hebrew word is Shechem. So Shechem is the Shekhinah, which is fit for Joseph, as he is called righteous, because righteousness, which is the Shekhinah, does not reside anywhere else but in the righteous, who is Joseph. This is the meaning to the place of Shechem, referring the place of the Shekhinah to the synagogue. To the plain of Moreh alludes to the Torah learning academies, where they teach and instruct Torah to the public. My commentary. This pasuk is explaining code words with the help of Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I think the code words are having to do with the righteous individual, that the synagogue as a place is just a building, but it's the righteous who are there, and
Malka.
And it becomes a place of prayer and study.
The synagogue is the righteous. It is the location of the righteous, but it is also the idea that the Shekinah is in the synagogue. And therefore, the Shekinah would not be any place that the righteous are not.
Mm-hmm.
The Shekinah is a consciousness, but it's also a location. The synagogue is a consciousness, and it's also a location. That's essentially what the pasuk is teaching us.
Why do you think the distinction between the synagogue and a learning or learning academy having a different code word in the plain of Moreh? That's why I kind of thought it was separating. Yes, a place, but more the righteous that are in that place because of the second code words. Because we always think of the Beit Knesset is a house of study, it's a house of prayer, it's a house of assembly.
But in reality, the member in Hebrew, that different words, they're not
right.
Synonyms. But over the centuries, words have come to mean similar things, such as the house of study and the house of prayer. Usually in most temples, most synagogues, most community centers, the location of the prayer room and the study room is the same. But it's really a level of consciousness. If you are studying and it becomes time for the mincha prayer, you have to transform your consciousness. You don't just start praying.
Right.
Although there are people, I know there are people who do that. They stand up from the books. They do not make an attempt to transform their consciousness, and they start praying the Amidah. They start praying Mincha. So they'll go right into the Ashrei. But the proper way is to transform your consciousness. So when we have all these different code words, we're really talking about different frames of reference. And it's very easy to become confused because you're using similar words. You're using words that mean something on the physical level, but you're really talking about a level of consciousness. You're really talking about a spiritual level of something. And what are those three different levels that I've just described? And how do I relate to them, and how do I not confuse them if I'm holding a conversation and I use the word Shechem, and I use the word Shekhinah, and I use the word synagogue? So what am I talking about? A physical building? A level of consciousness? A level of physicality? You have to be flexible, and you have to clarify it when you're using the language, and that's why I'm constantly stressing we're talking about this frame of reference, and it's important to be clear in the use of the language. Because in English and in America today, we don't use language like that specifically. You know, we will really mean three different things with one word, and we won't clarify it, and it leads to confusion. Whereas in the language of branches, which is the language of the Kabbalah, there is no confusion. It's a very exact language, a very exact science. Should I go on to 81?
Okay.
I don't mean to be offensive. I'm giving you the same training I was given.
Well, I was thinking of the definition, you know, we always give to synagogue. I mean, synagogue is kind of like the Greek form of the Hebrew. And when we're talking about the Hebrew, then we're talking about a place or consciousness that has three different meanings. A house of assembly where people come together. A house of tefillah, Beit Tefillah, which is where people come together to pray. And the Beit Midrash, the house of study. So, and to me, all those code words with Shekinah and Joseph and all, to me, represented the bodies, the souls that come to that place that has those three Hebrew meanings to it, rather than just this, you know, synagogue in Greek, I think, is something like synagogue. And they never refer to the synagogue, at least they didn't when I was in Israel. It was, you know, it was always the Beit Knesset or, you know, so I saw, I guess that's my background of study, so that was kind of what I saw, the meaning that I had to it.
And I appreciate it, but what I'm clarifying, and I hope it doesn't come across as an attack because I don't mean it to.
No, it's just that that's my level of understanding, and you're bringing it to a higher level, which I well understand.
Okay.
I never see the things that you say, because our services are only on Friday night, and then if we do have a Saturday morning service when the rabbi is in, which once or twice a month, we have a service, but we have it in the social hall. We don't go into the sanctuary. And then from there, we have a break of snacks, and then we have Torah study, and then everybody goes home. You know, we never see an evening service or whatever. So I guess for me, it's always been a place for prayer and for study, you know.
Hannah, you don't do those same three things in the same room. You'll go into your house of study will be the library or the rabbi's study or a smaller room off of the other. And sometimes you will go in there and have a minion in that smaller room. But for the most part, you do your study in a separate room.
That's all we know.
Yeah, and I appreciate
that's
that.
All we've ever seen, you know. And I mean, I've been there for 25 years or more.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. I understand it because I've seen it in many of the towns when I was traveling. But in every synagogue, call it a Jewish community, in every one, when they build the synagogue, they build three rooms. One is the sanctuary, as you use that word. One is the Knesset, the house of study. And one is the social hall. and they usually have three different rooms. Now, in some smaller communities, I found they would use the one room for all three, and they moved a lot of furniture around. And I'm just giving you a different perspective, so that, and I'm trying to teach you flexibility at the same time, and not to imply that you're not flexible. Just it's part of the discussion. So verse 81. V'chaknani az de'aretz k'deinit ka'basam v'itakan yetzer hara v'gufa ba'al parcheya v'sagin shemahan itleya u'ginei kach idkar bishmahan Sagin as biaretz, the dive eat kafya, the high the gim kit dictain, ihu gufa, the zina de la, itavar mineya, ahuna hash, kokach the gim deve kuta. The gufa kedain hachnani as baretz amai ikre kenani tishar gufa ledinin bishin. The translation. And the Canaanite was then in the land, means that the evil inclination was sweetened and amended in spite of itself in the body which is called the land. Do not be surprised that the evil inclination is called Canaanite, because it has many names. Was then in the land is certainly against its will, as it is still in the body when the soul, which is the secret of Avram, shines to it. The serpent is not yet completely removed from the body. Therefore, because the body is still attached to the serpent, the Canaanite was then in the land. Why is it called the Canaanite? Because it surrounds. In Aramaic, the word is achar, the body with evil judgments. And the word Canaanite means a merchant. The Hebrew word is sochar, as it is written that his truth shall be your shield and buckler. The Hebrew word is sochera. My commentary. This verse also is explaining code words. Please know that the meaning of words in both Hebrew and Aramaic is important to understand code words sometimes. And I would also clarify, just in case this was confusing, the idea of code words is implying and connecting to the language of branches. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we know when Abraham came into the land, the Canaanites were there, as well as the other ites. Their time wasn't up. So I can understand the code word meaning evil inclination.
But it actually means the evil inclination that has been sweetened. The judgment has been sweetened.
Only because Abraham entered the land? Is that what sweetened it?
Yes.
Okay.
That is it.
So when
that
he
is
went into the land, he brought the Shekinah with him. Or the Shekinah was with him when he came into the land.
Well, we have all these laws. The Shekinah joins with a minion. The Shekinah joins with three who study together for the Zimun when we're saying the Birkat HaMazon. The Shekinah joins with one person who is righteous. So all of those, because of their actions and their righteousness, they are sweetening judgments. And again, it's this idea that you're using the same physical world or the same physical word, but you need to be accurate in what you're describing. So before Abraham entered the land, the Shekinah was incomplete. Remember earlier in this section, we spoke about Abraham in his meditation, realizing that it was that the land was not complete, was not correct, that he sensed that that Hashem was not complete, and so he had to go down to Egypt in order to correct and expand the sweetness. You know, expand the benefit to the land of Israel, to the Shekinah. Venishmeta mata kaima. Bahai alma kitka yao begin lemis ke balavatar kad nafkat mehai alma izakat salkala atra denafkat mitaman diktiv el makom. Hamiz Beach Asher Asa Sham Barishona Uktiv El Hamakom Asher Haya Sham Ahalo Bat Kila Ahalo Behei. The translation. The soul is properly established in this world so that we can merit receiving it after it leaves the world. If a soul has merit, it returns to the place from where it came, as it is written, to the place of the altar which he had made there in the beginning, and to the place where his tent, the Hebrew word is ohalo, had been at the beginning. Ohalo is spelled with an additional hey, which represents the Shekhinah. My commentary. This pasuk is explaining then two possibilities of a soul after it leaves the body. When it is a student of Torah, it can reincarnate or it can return to Hashem after the tikkun is completed. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's telling us that this old. Goes back to where it came. But then, like you said, there can be reincarnation, or if your tikkun is finished, then you're there with Hashem.
If your tikkun is finished, you don't return in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
But you receive the Shekhinah. If your tikkun is finished, you receive the Shekhinah. What pulls you out of the soul out of the body is a vision of the Shekhinah, and that's the soul receiving the Shekhinah. We studied that in reincarnation. And here it's telling us by this word with the extra hey, oh hello. It's explaining that the soul receives the Shekhinah and constantly adheres to it, and that is what creates. It's staying in heaven with the Shekhinah.
So it's not that we go before the court and the court tells us we finished our tikkun.
The court finalizes the process. But in order for the soul to leave the body, it has to be drawn out away from the body.
And the Shekhinah does that.
And the vision of the Shekhinah does that. Now, if it's not righteous, the vision draws the soul out of the body, but then the Shekhinah runs away. And the soul is left bereft. It doesn't have the body. It doesn't have the Shekhinah. And then it goes, essentially, it goes to the court and is told to go to a Gehinnom. And which level of Gehinnom? But if the soul is righteous when it leaves the body because of the vision of the Shekhinah, it receives the Shekhinah, and it never leaves it. Does it make sense?
Yes. Yes. In one final reference.
Go ahead, finish.
Well, I'm thinking of the soul that has come down because to help the soulmate. It's in a different situation.
In effect, no. Because in order for the female soul to complete the male, to help the male complete, that female soul has to be righteous unto itself. So it's the same thing. The female soul receives the Shekhinah also, but the male and the female cleave together. So the Shekhinah is with the one soul that is made up of male and female. And even though they're leaving the world at different times, usually the male first, there is a connection between that female soulmate and the male soulmate that really never leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 o'clock class will be on the Ari for the Parasha of Lech Lecha.
Okay.
And you all have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.